Let's pray together.
Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this place where we can come together to offer our worship to you. Father, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit, who indwells each of us who have made a commitment of faith to you, will draw us deeper into you as we spend this time together. Father, as we hear the story once again, that you will impress on our hearts the great gift that you gave to us in coming here as a baby. We thank you, Father, that you love us so much that you didn't leave us where we were, but you sent Jesus. And we thank you for him, and it's in his name now that we pray. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Byron Community Church. Please have a seat if you're visiting with us. A very warm welcome to you on this December morning. And we have a choir for you this morning, as well as some carols and hearing the story once again.
Hello? Okay. We are on a journey together, a journey filled with anticipation for the celebration of Christmas, a time to remember and rejoice in the coming of our world of the gift of grace, our Savior Jesus.
3 weeks ago, we lit the candle of hope as a reminder that even though the world is dark, we have hope because we know the light of the world, Christ, has come and is coming again.
2 weeks ago, we added the candle of preparation. As a reminder that we must prepare for the returning of Christ. We want to be ready.
Last week, we added the candle of joy as a reminder that even our joy is complete in Christ and in Christ alone.
In Isaiah, we read, "The people who walked in darkness have seen great light."
Those who live in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined.
The lights that we have kindled each week light the way to the coming Christ.
The candles of hope, preparation, and joy grow brilliantly. Today, we light the candle of love.
Our returning Lord is forever faithful. The never-ending affection and tenderness that Christ has for us is a gift that is unequaled.
Praising God who cares so deeply for all creation that he would become like one of us, we light this candle. Together we will demonstrate and share the love of Christ.
Let us pray.
To help the poor, the sick, the blind, the light of Jesus make us kind. O Advent candle burning clear, remind us all that Christ is near. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Josh.
It's coming from everywhere today. So great to see everybody here on such a slippery and snowy day. We're going to take just a moment or two and fill out those Connect cards. You would have got one on your way in. If not, there may be one in the seat pocket in front of you. If not, just wave and an usher will bring you one.
When I walk. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow, I will not fear.
We'll just take the next moment or two to get up, meet and greet our neighbors. And kids, you guys can head on down to Sunday school. As always, following the service, we'll have plenty of time to continue to meet and greet, encourage each other over refreshments and goodies that the youth group girls made, too. So we're in for a treat. I would applaud after you've tasted it, but, you know, I'm sure they did a good job. Bring the ushers up and I'm going to pray. The ushers can come forward and we'll present our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Gracious God, we praise you. We thank you that we have this time together and that all of us were able to get here safely in the snow and the ice. Lord, you pour out blessings on us each and every day. We return to you a portion of that blessing in the form of our tithes and offerings and ask that you use it to expand your kingdom to the very ends of the earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. While the ushers are coming around, we have a number of announcements, and I will do my best not to forget any this week. But I do need to see them, or I will be very, very confused. Today, if you're not in the Christmas spirit already, you will get in the Christmas spirit this afternoon, 2 o'clock, our very own Sabrina Parker having a Christmas concert and CD release right here, 2 o'clock. Cost to get in is $10, cash at the door, and a non-perishable food item that will be going to Byron Cares. So come on out. It's going to be a great time, very Christmassy, today at 2 o'clock. Christmas Eve is coming up. Raise your hand if you have invited at least one person to Christmas Eve. You got a lot of work to do, and you've only got 6 days to do it. So we want to see everybody invite at least one person. They may not come. They may be busy. But give them that invitation. Those business cards are sitting on the info desk. There's a few left. So do invite somebody. 6:30. It's going to be a great time. Lots of plans in the works. It's going to be a really good time for families and folks who maybe don't normally come out to church. I don't need to really announce it to you guys because you've come out regardless of the weather, but regardless of what happens on Christmas Eve, whether it's snowy or icy, we will meet Christmas Eve, 6:30. And of course, after Christmas Eve, we will have our Christmas Day service. We're going to cut the birthday cake for Jesus on Christmas Day, regular time, and New Year's Day as well, same bat time, same bat channel. And then moving into the new year, we are going to be looking at 2 Corinthians, Power and Weakness. It's going to be a really good series. I'm pretty sure I didn't forget any announcements this week, and I'm going to leave now.
Christmas poem by Catherine Howell. The shepherds kept watch by the side of the hill, staying warm by a fire from the desert-like chill. Watching their sheep under star-dusted sky, they sat watching the heavens as the sheep grazed nearby. They spoke of the livestock under their care and of the warmth of the fire that they commonly shared. Keeping watch for wolves that would kill and destroy, wisely anticipating and understanding the enemy's ploy. They were shepherds by nature and cared for their flock, though some others in anger called them ignorant livestock. The shepherds live for their charges at expense of their lives, denying themselves so that their sheep would all thrive. It never surprised me that the angels appeared to these lowly shepherds whose hearts were so geared. The chief shepherd knew that they'd honor his birth, that they would understand the meaning of his coming to earth. After all, they guarded the oft-wandering sheep. The same does our Savior. Our souls he still keeps. Though we often turn back and we go our own way, we've never deserved it, but he keeps in us this way. He leaves the 99 and goes for the one who can't seem to get it, whose soul has come undone. This work is a mystery that none can explain, how he calms and loves and takes away our fear and pain. He lovingly restores, forgives, and refines those who are chosen by his Father's incredible design. Through trials, even failures, we learn to hear his voice. Through sorrows and disappointments, we can learn to rejoice. So let us reflect on his love this time of the year, and let us draw close without apprehension or fear. For he ever lives to intercede and prays for our souls. He ever lives to love us, and he died to make us whole.
Thank you. Well, just a couple of things. A lot of fun being in the choir. Rick, where's Rick Adam? I want to know where that bar in the east is. It threw me, Rick. It threw me. I know the Christmas story very well, but I've yet to come across the bar in the east. So that'll be one of the legacies, Rick, over the years we'll remember that. But I think you'll agree with me. We want to thank all who participated, but let's give a real shout out to Jeff Parker. He really Jeff works very hard, and though we are kind of like a superstar choir, it requires great patience and forbearance, and he has made it a real joy to be part of the choir this year. Well, it is a busy month, as Josh indicated to us, and this month, earlier in the month, we had the AIDS Christmas banquet, and something happened for me that is the first time this has ever happened. I was sitting at a table with a family. He is a fellow who has had AIDS a number of years. His daughter and children were there, and the granddaughter, I would say, was maybe about 7 years old. Right at the end of the dinner, said, "Pastor John," she had one of the Byron Community Church bulletins. She said, "Pastor John, will you sign the bulletin for me?" She asked me for my autograph. And I was glad to give her my autograph. And there were a lot of things that went through my mind with that inquiry and as I signed my autograph. One of the first things was, I've got to call Mark and let him know that he's not the only one in our family who is asked these days to sign his autograph. The second thing I thought was, you know, there's likely a number of you, you're just a bit shy, you're a little bit bashful, and I'm sure you would like to have a brochure with my autograph on it. So I was thinking, who might want that kind of thing? Sherry, where's Sherry? Sherry is going back to China in about a week or two. Actually, she'll be having her 17th birthday on January 1st in China. She's coming back. But Sherry, I thought if you had one of these signed bulletins, it would be a real hit in China. So will you come and get the bulletin here? Come. This is... It's free, but it's worth a lot. It's worth a lot. And then I thought maybe we've got actually both Jamie and Carly back. Jamie from the United States, Carly from out in Prince Edward Island. Wow, what a memento to bring back. So ladies, come forward. Carly, I know you're just excited. Jamie can come for you. Actually, she's convinced both of you to come. And I've got actually two, one for each of you. Carly, treat that well.
Can I give this to David for Christmas? I haven't bought him anything.
I'm not so sure that he will be overimpressed. Now, I do have one more signed. It just says here, "Christmas greetings from Pastor John." It has my signature on it. But I'll hold this, and if someone is really well-behaved during the sermon, I may give that to you as a little bit of incentive. So, yes, I thought I'd like to let Mark know. I thought that there'd be some of you who would be delighted with a signed brochure. And then I thought, you know what? As that little girl asked me for my signature, I'm likely more famous than I realize. I thought, you know, I'm likely a whole lot more popular. And I kind of was riding that cloud for a couple of days. And in fact, I was at a store. And across the way, there was a young, very attractive woman. I can notice that. Heather's okay with that. She was young. She was vivacious, very attractive. And she looked my way and waved. I thought, wow, I don't really think I know her. But, you know, I'm quite famous. So I thought, she must know me. And so I actually didn't have a brochure with my autograph to give to her. So I thought, what I will do is, what else do? But you wave back. So she's waving, and I'm waving back. And I thought, wow. And then from behind me, I heard a deep voice. I turned around, and there was this big hunk of a man. And he calls out to this girl, "Hey, Debbie, make sure you have a good Christmas." And all of a sudden, I go, she wasn't waving at me. Have you ever had that experience? It's awful, isn't it? You're embarrassed. You're feeling a bit humiliated. You wish you could just disappear like that. In fact, I thought to myself as she was looking, she did look a bit puzzled. It was likely thinking to herself, that guy's a real loser, that guy who's waving at me who doesn't know me. So very, very quickly, I came down to earth. And I realized that at the end of the day, I'm a rather ordinary guy, an ordinary pastor, and I'm not all that famous, and I'm sure not a celebrity. Over the last few days, I thought about you and many of you. Now, let me be frank. Most of you are ordinary people. In fact, I'm even going to go one step further. I think all of us this morning are ordinary people. You may have your moment of fame. You may have your moment of celebrity. You may have been asked for your autograph. You may have your picture in the paper. There may be all kinds of possibilities. But at the end of the day, most of us are very ordinary people. You know, when I think of that first Christmas, I think of those who would be classified as ordinary people. One of the students last week, Josh gives them a handout to fill out, and this young guy had left his handout in the foyer area, and the comment on it was, Mary was very ordinary. And I thought, you got it. You captured that about Mary. And I would say the same of Joseph, who we thought about last week. And I would say the same about the shepherds that we're going to be looking at this morning. Ordinary people. Shepherds. There's a lot that we know about shepherds in general. But when we think of these shepherds, they truly were the unsung heroes of Christmas. No names are given. We can speculate, but we don't have any names that are given to us. What we do know about shepherds was that they were underdogs. We know that they were on the periphery. The religious establishment didn't think much of shepherds. If anything, they despised shepherds. And so what you have are ordinary men who spent most of their time just with dull, boring routine, watching their sheep night after night after night after night. You know, ordinary people do dishes, do diapers, take out the garbage, shovel their driveways, try to get the ice off their windshield. Ordinary people look after sheep night after night. But God loves ordinary people. And this morning, as we continue our series, Christmas Cloud, I want us to think about the shepherds. You know their story, but let's think about shepherds. And I'd like us to look at the Hebrews 12 passage once again. And we're going to be looking at this passage in particular over the holiday weekend, over Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But we read, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, remember, these are people more than just watching us. These are people who've gone on before us, who by their faith experience show and tell us what it means to be people of faith. So then let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's going to be the theme of the devotional on Christmas Eve. Fixing our eyes, focusing on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter, the champion of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We know that's why Jesus came to earth. He came to die for our sins. He came so that he could go to the cross and accomplish something great on our behalf. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And as I indicated this morning, what I'd like us to do as we look at a cloud of witnesses is to consider the story of the shepherds. I'm going to read the account in Luke 2 that you know very, very well. I was looking through some files the other day, and without a question, it's a passage I've likely spoke on more than any other passage here and over a course of a lifetime of preaching. Today, we're not going to put it on the screen behind me. I just want you to listen to these familiar words from Scripture, ponder them, take them in, and we will then make a few comments about this passage. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The Lord will bless the reading of this very familiar passage of Scripture to us. This morning I have five faith lessons from you from the story of the shepherds. These are five faith lessons for ordinary people. So if you're not an ordinary person, if you in fact are a superstar or a celebrity, then I give you permission to kind of fade off and think about your Christmas shopping that's left for the rest of this week. But if you're an ordinary person like me, I invite you to listen to these five faith lessons, lessons that we need to learn, and in some cases we need to relearn. So let's look at our first faith lesson, faith and the methods of God. And the tagline for this first lesson is, ordinary people are used by God to carry out his purposes. Why did God use shepherds? It's quite intriguing when you look at that basic question. It's often an overlooked question. They had a key role to play. Mary needed to hear more about the role Jesus was going to play. And we know from what we just read that the shepherds informed Mary on what the angel had told them. The other thing we know is that the shepherds in the town of Bethlehem spread the news, and we have the impression that they went back into the fields and shared that with others, the first real Christian evangelists. And at the same time, we know the shepherd story is for our benefit. Aren't you glad for the shepherds, that the shepherds were obedient to the call of the Lord, that God used these ordinary men to carry out his purposes? We would have looked for a celebrity. We would have at least looked for a member of the religious establishment. It's intriguing, quite fascinating, that God didn't opt for that method. In fact, this is very consistent with Luke's gospel. I'm not surprised at all that it's Luke who records the story of the shepherds. Because in Luke, one of the great themes through the whole gospel is what we might call the great reversal. How the Lord takes the poor and the humble and elevates them and uses them for His glory and for His purposes. Luke records Jesus preaching His first sermon. That's the theme. How God wants to minister to those who are poor and needy and to elevate them and use them. It's the theme in the parables. It's the running theme, the thread that weaves its way through Luke's gospel. We call it the great reversal. God actually takes the proud and knocks them down, but God uses ordinary people like you and me. We have seen how Jesus identifies with those who are poor and needy. A very important message for us this Christmas season. Jesus intentionally identifies with those who are poor and needy. He uses those who are humble, and He blesses those who are on the periphery, those who are outcasts. It may seem very simple, but the Lord wanted to especially bless men and others like shepherds. And maybe you this morning wonder where you fit. What's your role? What's your place in this community, in this church, maybe where you work? What a great message. God uses those who are ordinary to accomplish His purposes. After all, we've learned, as we've talked about faith over the last few weeks, that faith is a gift from God. We need to unwrap it and then use faith. But we always see that it's God who initiates, that God who makes the first move. It's one of the mysteries that God would choose to use ordinary people like you and me for His purposes. Had a good visit the other day with Ron Bartram. Do you remember Ron? Some of you will remember Ron Bartram. And Ron just turned 90, and he's doing quite well, but he's got many physical limitations. And as I talked to Ron, he used one of his favorite phrases. I've heard it from Ron for years, and that is, God works in mysterious ways. That was one of Ron's favorite things to say, and he indeed said it to me the other day. God works in mysterious ways. Many others would choose the famous or the rich or the popular. God, when it came to such a significant point in redemptive history, used ordinary people. Doesn't that encourage us? Often I hear some of you say, John, I'm just an ordinary person. I don't know where I fit or how I could be used or how I could contribute to what's going on here at Byron Community Church and the different ministries. Think of the shepherds. The shepherds teach us, they show us that God delights in using ordinary people to accomplish His purposes. Hey, just wait till we get into 2 Corinthians next year. Are you excited for that? Some of you are going, I just learned about it this morning, but we're going to be rolling up our sleeves and going through what I think is Paul's most passionate epistle. There's parts of it that are controversial. There are parts of it that will stretch us and push us, but there's some wonderful thoughts there. And this theme in 2 Corinthians, power in weakness. We have this treasure, what? In jars of clay. And that's kind of connected to what we see in the story of the shepherds. So faith in the methods of God. God loves to use ordinary people to carry out His purposes. Next lesson, lesson number two, faith and the message of Christmas. Ordinary people can discover the real significance of Christ's birth. The message of Christmas. There is content to what we believe. There is content to our faith. And that is what is so important for us to appreciate. I love what the angel said. This is good news. You rejoice in that? We have good news. It bothers me when Christians like us are associated with bad news. We're seen as the people who are judgmental. We're seen sometimes as the people who are overcritical, the people who are bearers of bad news. Now, I love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But there's more to the statement. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. Hey, I'm one who believes that sin is real. I also believe that sin will be punished. But that's not the whole story. God sent Jesus to be the one who would deal with the problem of sin and the consequences of sin. It is good news. And it's of great joy, not just joy, but great, exceeding joy. At the community dinner back, I guess it would have been a Saturday ago, before the dinner, I had the opportunity to sit down with Father Pedro. He's a new associate priest over at St. George, and we had a nice chat. And I asked him, so what are you going to be preaching at your masses tomorrow? And he said, I'm going to be talking about joy. And I said, that's a great Christmas theme. And we went back and forth. And he said to me, because Pedro has just been in Canada for a few weeks, he said, Pastor, he said, what I've observed is that many Canadians are not experiencing joy. He said, from where I see it, many Canadians seem to be overstressed. They're stressed, full of pressure, full of anxiety. And he asked the question, so Pastor, where's the joy? Good news of great joy. And if you're not experiencing joy, I would challenge you to hear again the intent of the message of Christmas. It is good news of great joy. Just great joy for a few people, for all people. Whether you think you're famous or extraordinary, or like most, if not all of us, especially if you're an ordinary person, this is good news. This is good news of great joy, and it is for all people. A Savior to be born. And I love that phrase, and we'll unpack it next weekend. I get asked the question, should we celebrate Christmas? It's a good question. It's actually been a trendy question, and it's really surfaced over the last little while on social media. I can appreciate some of the arguments connecting the celebration of Christmas and history. And many would argue, and they're right, that Jesus was not born this time of year. Sorry, those of you who love winter. It would likely have been in spring when it was nice, warm, good weather. But I'm convinced that we need to celebrate the birth of our Savior, because it was absolutely critical that Jesus be born. Did you know Jesus didn't come for a quick weekend and deal with the problem of sin? It was crucial for Jesus to identify with us, to take on flesh and blood. Every step of the way was necessary, and especially and including the birth of Jesus. So it's why, at the end of the day, I think it's a wonderful thing. And here at Byron Community Church, we're very deliberate. We're very intentional when it comes to celebrating the birth of Christmas. But we don't stop there, do we? In fact, one of the things I like about celebrating Christmas now, it's kind of like the beginning point, and we get to work up towards Easter, right? So if we were doing Christmas after Easter, that to me would be a little bit out of order when it comes to redemptive history. So I think it's really neat that we recognize that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, but we don't leave him as a baby, do we? We recognize that it's not about Bethlehem primarily, it's about Calvary. Jesus was born to die, a Savior. I often wonder how much Mary understood. I wonder how much the shepherds understood. They definitely would have had messianic expectations like most Jewish people. They likely didn't fully appreciate the significance of that statement. But we are blessed. We have the advantage of looking back and seeing the significance and the meaning of a Savior has been born to you. Let's go to our third lesson. Faith and the merits of experience. Ordinary people express faith through action. And I love this story in Luke 2 because there's a lot of action words. It starts with the very first command given, the very first statement by the angel to the shepherds, don't be afraid. They were actually terrified. In the Greek, it actually means they dreaded with dread, if you can imagine that. They were petrified. It wasn't the shepherds were standing around going, oh, good to see you. We've been waiting for you. We kind of expected this. No, they were terrified. Maybe wondering if this was an angel of judgment. Maybe wondering, what was this all about? So they were given that assurance. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. And then the angel gives them those words of comfort. And then the invitation to go and see. And I love that emphasis. For the shepherds complied. These action words. Go. Find. See. Experience Christ. And that's one of my concerns. For over the years, I've met many people who know the Christmas story, who are familiar with it. But to me, the crucial issue has to do with experiencing our Lord Jesus Christ. It is so important to appreciate that faith is not just a momentary event, but it indeed is a lifestyle. And we experience Christ, as Josh said a few weeks ago, as we step out of the boat, as we put our trust and our reliance on the person of Jesus Christ. We need to, as it says in the Psalms, taste and see that the Lord is good. So one of my great concerns this Christmas season is that you would make a priority of experiencing Jesus, but not just at Christmas time, but 365 days of the year. My dad worked with a man, we'll call him Mr. F. Mr. F was a fine man, loved to come out to Christmas services. He loved to be there anytime we were singing the carols of Christmas. You like the carols of Christmas? A whole lot of people love the carols of Christmas. But I'm convinced that Mr. F never really truly had that experience with the Christ of Christmas. Maybe the carols were nostalgic, made him feel good, brought back familiar memories. But the key is that we experience Christ. And here's where we go with this. This experience of Christ became the basis for the shepherds witnessing for Jesus. Have you ever discovered in your life that it's hard to share about Jesus when you're not experiencing Jesus? When we make outreach or evangelism mechanical, or something that we have to follow 6 steps or 10 steps or 12 methods, it's never effective. But when you can say, I've experienced the Lord Jesus, He is good, He is trustworthy, He can be depended on. Especially effective if you're an ordinary person, because ordinary people have hardships and trials and troubles. And there's nothing quite like coming alongside someone and saying, you know what? I've been there. I know how hard and difficult it is. But I've learned that we can cast our cares on Jesus because He cares for us. That's a great testimony. But it comes out of that context of experience. Yes, we have the content of the gospel. That's objective. The Christmas story that is historical and accurate, that's unchanging. But you and I bring our experiences of Christ into the mix. Let's talk about our fourth lesson, and we've called that faith and the matter of truth. Ordinary people encounter truth in the Christ of Christmas. I really like this point, so listen carefully to it. The other day, and in fact it was Ken McDonald, who forwarded a Facebook post. Now Ken's worried, what did I forward? But it was indicating, Ken, you'll remember this, that one of the One of the new words of 2016 is the word post-truth. Did you know that? That's now, it's a recognized word. It will be recognized in encyclopedias. That word or term, post-truth. I don't know about you, but I find that a very scary phrase, a very scary word, which implies that we're very sophisticated. We're now kind of beyond truth. Or I've heard people even say, well, that's your truth. This is my truth. And we just need to hug each other and get along and the world will be a better place. But truth doesn't hold up to that kind of scrutiny. I mean, you can tell me that 2 + 2 = 5, and you can be very convinced of it, and I do believe I'm obligated to respect your entitlement to believe that, but doesn't mean I have to say that, well, that's true, what you're believing is accurate. No, you'd say no. In an objective way, we know that 2 + 2 = 4. There's evidences and proof of that. So what I really love about the Christmas story in general, but in this passage in particular, do you know how it closes? Remember what we read? The shepherds were rejoicing because things happened the way they were told they were going to happen. The angels spoke truth. And Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When he stood before Pilate in John 18, we have the record of that. What a fascinating conversation. And Jesus said, I'm for truth. And people who are going to be for me are those who are for the truth. And I love it's Luke who records the story of the shepherds because he says right at the beginning of his gospel that his purpose is to find out what is true. He rolls up his sleeves. He says, I'm investigating this. I'm going to direct sources. I want to make sure that what I'm recording in my gospel account is true. Now, don't get me wrong. I think there's fictional aspects to Christmas, and I'm not hung up about them. It's taking a look through our audience, make sure this is appropriate. If you celebrate Santa Claus or if you don't, it to me is not a deal breaker. However, what I would say is this, is let's make sure that we make distinctions, that we appreciate that Jesus is for real. This isn't fake. It's not make-believe. We believe that at that time in history, at just the right time, our Savior was born. Do I believe that the shepherds had this experience that's described in Luke 2? Absolutely. The credibility of the gospel depends on it. And that's why in Hebrews, a few weeks ago, we looked at the definition or description of faith. And faith is certainty. It is a certain hope. So on the basis of evidence, on the basis of proof, we can be sure that what we see in Scripture recorded for us is true and accurate. Tied into truth is the idea that our God is a promise-keeping God. Wonderful theme, by the way, for a Christmas series, the God of promise. God keeps his promises. And what I love about that when I look at the first coming of Christ is that it trickles over and impacts the second coming of Christ. So what's our confidence? What's our assurance that Jesus is coming again? God keeps his promises. Every promise tied in to the first coming of Christ has been proven true. Just in the same way, we can have confidence that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. He came the first time to deliver us from the penalty of sin. He's coming the second time to deliver us from sin in the ultimate sense. And in the in-between, Jesus prayed for you and me, Lord God, sanctify them according to truth. There's our word. So does truth matter? Is it something that we should be concerned about? Or should we say, well, we're living in a sophisticated age where truth no longer matters? I would say that in the move of our society in this direction, more and more people are going to be going, I want to know what is truth. What can I count on? What can I rely on? And here's what's even more incredible. Not only is what we believe true, but it works. It's true, it's relevant. It's true, it works. We're making good time here. So just a quick review, faith and the methods of God. Ordinary people are used by God to carry out his purposes. Faith and the message of Christmas. Ordinary people can discover the real significance of Christ's birth. Don't forget faith and the merit of experience. Ordinary people express faith through action. It's an action word. Faith in the matter of truth. Ordinary people encounter truth in the Christ of Christmas. And our final point, final lesson, faith and the motivation to worship our triune God. I wanted to include that. So that phrase, I don't want it to just be kind of a ambiguous theological phrase. When we say triune God, you know we mean God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And what I see in the shepherd's experience is that ordinary people, like you and me, can seize opportunities to praise and glorify God. There's a lot of activities in Christmas, aren't there? How many of you are done your Christmas shopping? I want to feel guilty here. Oh, look at that. Lots of you haven't finished your Christmas shopping. And some of you are going, I've still got 4 or 5 days. Some of you will ask me for a couple of brochures to give out to family and friends, and I'll help you in that way if you require it. And there's other things. Do you love getting together with your family of origin? You do, don't you? How many people hear Sabrina this afternoon? Wow. I'll be here. I actually heard Sabrina, and she's actually got a good pianist, okay, this afternoon. And they were great. I just got a little bit of a snippet, and treat yourself this afternoon. I really would implore you. You won't be disappointed. There you go, Sabrina. That's a little commercial in the context of the sermon. So there's lots of activities, but the one thing I want to push you and me is seizing opportunities this Christmas to really worship God. When the angel appears, remember the host of angels? Glory to God in the highest. It wasn't glory to you shepherds. It wasn't glory to us. Look at where angels look at us. Look at how many are here. But no, glory to God. And it says that when the shepherds returned to the fields, they were praising and glorifying God. So I have a very simple prayer for you this Christmas season. In the hustle and bustle, and yeah, there's a lot of stress, and some of us are stressed out about driving in the weather, and we got a lot on our plate, don't we? But will you make it intentional this year? Will you be really deliberate about praising and worshiping God this Christmas season? Maybe you go, I've got a really good CD I can play. I've got a couple of CDs, and they help me get into that mind of worship. And even as a church community, this morning and into next weekend, looking for those opportunities, seizing these opportunities to really worship God. To worship God that He is great, He is awesome, and He is mighty. If I was that great, if I was that mighty, if I was that awesome, I know how I would deal with the problem of sin. I'd just get rid of people. I mean, that seems to be straightforward. It isn't messy. It's not complicated. Every Christmas, I'm fascinated anew why God loves you and me so much. I mean, we're just ordinary people. There's nothing that we deserve but punishment. We don't merit God's favor. God's love is amazing. It's extraordinary. And He's worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our adoration. Not just that Jesus came to earth so He could identify with us because He wanted to know what it felt like to be a human being. No, Jesus came to die for your sins. He knew all the way along that He was going to go to Calvary. It wasn't about a cradle, it was about a cross. You and I will never know, at least on this side of heaven, how much it cost, what it really meant for Jesus to die on the cross for your sins and my sins. We have a little appreciation of the physical agony, but we will never truly be able to understand the spiritual separation, the emotional detachment between the Father and the Son that had been there for eternity. And Jesus cries out, "My God, why are you forsaking me?" The pain and the anguish. It's out of this world. Jesus experienced hell so that you and I wouldn't have to. I can't think of anything more wonderful than to be able to say, "Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord." Oh, I love the fact that we can celebrate Christmas and there's something that feels good about baby Jesus. But I know at the deepest level, Lord Jesus, that you were born to die. What do we do with that? How do we respond? The only way I know how sincere, ordinary men and women of faith can respond is through worship. So I'm going to ask Rick, Sabrina, and I think Carrie, you're coming up too. But you need to seize this opportunity. If you're just going to say, "John, I'm just going to sing through the words, but I'm really concerned about what I'm having for lunch," then you're missing the point. Can you just... We're not into mind manipulation, but in counseling, when I was teaching counseling at the college, I would say to the students, at times, you need to what we call flush the mind. Okay, so can you do that? Can you go, "Okay, I know I've got a lot of things that might be distracting me right now. I'm thinking about that one last gift I've got to buy or thinking about that trip I've got coming up. But will you just take 30 seconds? Can you do that? 30 seconds. We've got this song, and then there's a beautiful song that Rick and Sabrina, with the help of some children, are going to do. I'm going to ask you to spend 30 seconds. I'm going to pray a brief prayer, and then we're going to stand and sing a beautiful song that we can sing any time of the year, but it's especially a Christmas song. Here I am to worship. Light of the world, you came down into darkness. Spend 30 seconds. It's just you and God. Don't think about the person beside you, the person sitting in front of you. Think of the shepherds and their experience that's intended to be our experience at Christmas. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's just spend 30 seconds in silent worship. Father, we are not famous. We are not celebrities. We're not extraordinary. Fact is, we're ordinary people. And our faith, at times, is very simple. But we have put our trust in an extraordinary God. Heavenly Father, it's not about our fame. It's not about our glory. We spread the fame of our Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate His glory. Jesus, you are a wonderful Savior. You are a worthy Lord. Thank you for putting up with us, even when we fail and disappoint you, which happens way too often. Jesus, you are worthy of our praise and our adoration, and we now want to worship you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Will you stand, please, and sing?
Snow-covered rooftops, lights on the tree,
the sound of singing I hear down every street. Families have gathered from miles away. Oh, Merry Christmas, it's Christmas Day.
See that old tree down Cotton Lane. Those lights keep shining, it's always the same. We hear the church bells ring out to say, oh, Merry Christmas, it's Christmas Day. Oh, Merry Christmas, it's Christmas Day.
Trim the lights and hang the stockings, decorate with green and red, make the cookies for old Santa, make a runway for his sled, singing carols on a sleigh ride, gather round the manger scene, open presents, read the letters, and together we will sing.
Oh, Merry Christmas,
joy to the
joy
world,
to the world, for every nation, for every boy and girl. Let's light a candle, for peace we pray.
Well, thank you for joining with us this morning. I hope that you have been blessed by the time that you've spent here this morning. As Josh mentioned earlier, the treats out in the foyer have been made by the girls from our youth group. So please, if you're able to stay and enjoy some with us, please do so. Please stand. We'll close our service by singing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You are dismissed.